with COVID-19 or the next disease, I think it really comes down to strengthening our immune system. And our immune system is really, really impacted by inflammation in the body. Inflammation is found to be the root cause of so many chronic diseases and health conditions. I talk with my athletes and clients all the time, you know, focus on the controllables and you can't worry about what you can't control. And I just think this applies so perfectly to what we're experiencing with COVID-19, because we can control our food choices and our diet and our lifestyle to a certain extent. And so I hope that we can keep this conversation going and give people hope and empower people. Like, you know what? This is something that we can do, and we can do it right now, today, with nutrition.
What's up, folks? Welcome to episode 13 of Coming Up Podcast. I'm Matt Schumacher. Our guest this week is Devin Delaney, a holistic nutritionist and the director of high performance nutrition at one of the most elite ski academies in the country. Devin herself was a high level skier, competing for a number of years with the United States national team in many of the world's top international competitions, and she also won a Division I national championship here in the United States for the University of Denver back in 2014. So why did I want to talk with Devin, a holistic nutritionist, right now on this podcast? Well, for those of you who know me, I'm very passionate about food and fitness and nutrition, and that passion and my curiosity in those areas has only grown since the start of coronavirus. And as Devin talks about throughout the course of the show, we have a health epidemic going on in the United States right now. And I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm talking about the tens of millions of Americans who die every year from chronic disease, like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's. The list goes on. 40% of Americans, 40%. Deals with chronic disease. That's 133 million Americans. It's a national health crisis that nobody really seems to be talking about, especially as it relates to our struggle to overcome coronavirus. The two are actually very much intertwined, and they have to do with our diet as Americans. And Devin and I talk about that a lot throughout the course of our conversation. That connection between diet and chronic disease, and diet and coronavirus in particular. What we should be eating and how we should cook those things, because apparently that matters as well. We also touch on gut health, which seems to be a big buzz phrase right now. What is gut health and why is a healthy gut so important? And then we also talk about Devin's journey to completely changing her own diet, what inspired her to totally change her career and get into holistic nutrition and nutritional performance, and her vision for the future and what role she hopes to play in creating a healthier country here in the United States. You know, our food system is broken, and I think many of us would be surprised to learn just how broken it is. But that's the thing. A lot of us don't know, and we can't fix a problem if we don't know that it's there. We can't address an issue if we can't see the issue, which is why it's so important to have these discussions so that we can learn and educate ourselves and make changes at the individual level that in turn result in paradigm shifts at the macro level. And I'm super pumped to be having this discussion with Devin and to be having more discussions with her in the weeks to come. So let's talk to the expert. It's episode 13 of Coming Up Podcast with Devin Delaney. All right, we've got Devin Delaney, holistic nutritionist, director of high performance, and my cousin. So I trust what she's going to tell us on the podcast. Dev, what's up?
How are you, Matt?
I am good. I'm pumped to be having this conversation with you. One thing about Devin and I is that we both really have a love for food. Growing up in a big Irish-Italian family where both of our moms were always cooking something amazing. So you and I have a lot of conversations about nutrition, and I'm glad we're putting it on a podcast.
Pretty cool to be here talking about the nutrition piece, because it's been such a consistent thread throughout our childhood.
Absolutely. And I know for you, that's part of what inspired you to make your career change and to get into holistic nutrition. And we'll talk a little bit more about that journey as the show unfolds. But first, I want to start with coronavirus and diet. You know, it's a connection that is not being discussed widely, certainly not in the mainstream media. It's more of a discussion on the fringe amongst, you know, holistic nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, and the importance of food to our health as human beings. So, Devin, my first question to you is, in your mind, what is the connection between COVID-19 and diet in America?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just how you teed it up, I can't emphasize the importance of nutrition enough right now. With COVID-19 or the next disease, I think it really comes down to strengthening our immune system. And our immune system is really, really impacted by inflammation in the body. Inflammation it's found to be the root cause of so many chronic diseases and health conditions, whether it be cardiovascular disease, diabetes, heart disease, autoimmunity, you know, Alzheimer's, cancer, you name it. And it's no different with this COVID situation. And what we're seeing is people who have compromised immune systems, people that are getting impacted the worst by COVID-19 and the coronavirus, have underlying health conditions. People whose health is suffering or compromised, they don't have strong enough defenses necessarily to fight this. So how can we take the right steps to build up our defenses, to work on our health on a foundational level, to try to beat this thing and to keep our loved ones and our community as healthy as possible? It's so easy for us to watch the news and feel helpless and feel confused and just totally have the wind taken out of our sails. And I talk with my athletes and clients all the time, you know, focus on the controllables. And you can't worry about what you can't control. And I just think this applies so perfectly to what we're experiencing with COVID-19, because we can control our food choices and our diet and our lifestyle to a certain extent. And so I hope that we can keep this conversation going and give people hope and empower people. Like, you know what, this is something that we can do, and we can do it right now, today. We eat multiple times a day, every single day, that we need that. We need our food to survive. So let's start taking baby steps in the right direction, and think of it as you're building up your defenses for this infectious disease or the next, right? So I definitely think that's the silver lining in all of this. You know, we have the power and control over our diet and lifestyle. Now, we're not hopeless, and there is something we can do about it with nutrition.
2018, there was a study published. Researchers at UNC examined the National Health and Nutrition Survey, and in the study, they found that 7 in 8 Americans mm-hmm. are metabolically unhealthy. Meaning mm-hmm. what? Meaning that they have high levels of either HDL cholesterol, waist circumference, mm-hmm. blood sugar, blood pressure, triglycerides. They had high levels in at least one of those things, but maybe more. So there's this epidemic in America within the pandemic, and the two are related. Because as you said, inflammation is what's driving some of these issues, and inflammation is directly related to diet. So practically speaking, what should we be eating?
Nutrition can be a really controversial subject, but I think when we just stick to the basics, we can do so, so much for our health. So I start with whole foods, right? We got to increase our whole foods, our fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, quality meats and animal products, grains and legumes, all that sort of thing. And we have to eliminate the processed foods. You know, those processed foods are causing stress in our bodies. Stress causes inflammation. It starts to break down our gut lining, and you know, then the cascade of symptoms goes on. It's sort of like a domino effect. So really focus on boosting the fruits and vegetables and just the real food. If it comes in a package and has a nutrition label and list of ingredients in the back, it probably isn't serving you right now. You know, we have to do some healing first. And then you can notice, you know, you can have a bit more flexibility. But antioxidants and polyphenols, you know, those are chemical compounds found in plants to protect them. And so when we eat them, they protect us. They have the same powers. So things like deeply colored and pigmented stuff, berries and pomegranates and currants and dark leafy greens and red onions, all different spices. I love cooking with spices. Those are going to be really, really powerful to beat that oxidative stress and damage, internal damage, right? It's going to help flush that out. Zinc is a huge one for our immune function, for our immune health. So foods, you know, we talk food as medicine, oysters and grass-fed beef and pumpkin seeds and beans, all fantastic. Sulfur-rich foods, it's amazing for detoxifying and supporting our glutathione. So that's going to be cruciferous veggies, cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Vitamin C, we hear that one all the time. I don't think you can walk into a pharmacy or grocery store and find vitamin C on the shelves right now. So boost up your kiwis and your oranges, right? All of those wonderful fruits that are in season right now. Going back to inflammation, healthy fats. This has been such a hot topic and controversial one in our society because we were fat phobic, then fats are in. And so I think we need to understand the role of fats in our body. And fats are critical in the inflammatory process, the natural inflammatory process in our bodies. So when we talk about inflammation being the root of these different diseases and underlying health conditions, we need healthy fats to, if our body inflames, which is great, we need to support it to anti-inflame as well. So both are good, but when we get into trouble is when we experience inflammation, we create inflammation in the body, and then it's our body's overwhelmed and it can't properly, naturally anti-inflame the way it's supposed to. And when that's left unsupported over a long period of time, that's chronic inflammation. And that's the root of these diseases and health conditions. So healthy fats, I love olives, extra virgin olive oil, grass-fed butter. That is kind of one that I laugh about because I did not grow up on good grass-fed butter. I was a margarine, a margarine child. Right. And now to understand this is a health food. What? Coconut oil, nuts and seeds, hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds, wild fatty fish, egg yolks, you know, embrace the healthy fats. It's going to help with inflammation right now, especially. Sea salt is such a great one because a lot of us are mineral deficient. Just our soils aren't as rich as they used to be. And so I just buy a really good sea salt that I cook with and I put a little sprinkle of it in my water first thing in the morning with some lemon. We talked about in school, minerals are the spark plugs of the body, right? So they like get the body going into gear to function the way it's supposed to. It's the spark plug, just like our cars. So if you can just put a little sea salt in your food and in your water and boost up those minerals, you know, what an easy way to help get the body working the way it should be. So yeah, those are some of my favorites. Basically, try to eat a rainbow of colors, fruits and vegetables, really nutrient dense foods. And try to eliminate that processed stuff as much as possible just to support yourself and create some healing. Just keep it simple. Yeah. No fad diets here. We're just trying to build healthy bodies from the inside out.
And it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. And the thing with the immune system is it isn't the quick fix. It isn't just taking a vitamin C pill and thinking you're supporting your immune system. You got to do it day in and day out. It's that lifestyle piece that you said. So
you're making me hungry talking about all these different foods that we can be eating. You talked about a lot there that I want to touch on. And like, first of all, it's so hard in the United States to cut out processed foods because even the foods that we wouldn't conventionally think are processed, they probably are still processed a little bit. You know, grain is a big one in the United States where it's like grain now isn't what it used to be 20 years ago. That's why it's important to read the labels and understand where it's coming from if you are going to be purchasing food that comes in a box or in a package or whatever. Something that you said, and I'm so glad you brought it up because it was a question I wanted to ask you. You brought up the term food is medicine. And we hear that a lot in holistic nutrition and functional medicine. What does that mean? How so? And could you elaborate on that a little bit?
I think the food is medicine approach is food first, right? Start with food, see how your body responds. And then, sure, sometimes supplements and different things like that are necessary. The body needs a little bit more support. But how I explain the foods that I suggested with boosting our immune system and our overall health right now is just that. So maybe you need some more vitamin C. So increasing, you know, eating kiwis and oranges and things like that. Maybe you need some more vitamin D, trying to get outside and get some sun on your face and eating some good healthy fats as well, right? That and animal products that have vitamin D in it. Maybe you need extra zinc because you need to boost your immune system and you need help with digesting your foods properly. So we don't properly make stomach acid when zinc is low, just as an example. So maybe I can try eating more, you know, grass-fed beef or oysters or things like this, foods rich in zinc, and see if that helps with my immune health and helps with my digestion because I can make more stomach acid to digest my food. Does that sort of make sense?
Absolutely. And, you know, our society is so quick to medicate with pharmaceutical drugs. And I'm not saying that pharmaceutical drugs are bad. Obviously they have their place, but that's usually step one. And the diet is nowhere to be found in the process of healing. Whereas, as you're saying, diet should be number one, because a lot of these issues, a lot of these chronic illnesses and autoimmune disease and cancer and heart disease, et cetera, et cetera. We go down the list. A lot of that could be avoided simply by diet. And unfortunately, people just don't know that. People don't realize the power of diet in the healing process. I certainly didn't. I'm just starting to touch the tip of the iceberg because of all the stuff that I've read and the access that I have to experts like you that I can have conversations with every day. But for the general public, we just don't know. We don't realize that diet can be the answer to a lot of these physical ailments and mental that we're experiencing. And so education is a big thing, but another big thing is accessibility or lack thereof to the types of foods that you're talking about, these whole, nutritious and organic foods. It's a big problem in our country, especially in minority neighborhoods and in low economic neighborhoods. There just isn't the accessibility to this type of nutritious food. And that's a big problem. And it's a problem that one individual isn't going to fix by themselves. But practically speaking, Devin, I mean, what would you suggest to someone who lives in an area like that, who wants to eat healthy, but doesn't have access to it?
Yeah, this is such a great question. And it's so tough. It's something I think about a lot, because there is such an enormous need right now for the health and wellness and nutrition and fitness industries to just be more accessible and more affordable to everyone, right? Everyone as a basic human right should have access to health. And we're talking food as medicine. And so it's foundational. And superfoods and supplements and eating organic and all of these suggestions, it's expensive. And it's right now, unfortunately, unrealistic for a lot of people, you know, if you live in a food desert or something like that. So, and for myself, you know, I work in a really privileged demographic of people. It's a private ski racing academy, and it's a bubble though. You know, everyone does not have this access. So I think working on accessibility to inner cities and rural areas. I don't necessarily have the right answer, and I wish I did because I'd be running so fast with it to get it done. But I think one positive thing that we're seeing with COVID in particular is all of these online marketplaces that are coming up. I just discovered a few actually that are using food waste, essentially. So foods that maybe grocery stores can't sell, or farmers have these partnerships with big hotels and restaurants. And now that they're shut down, there's this surplus of food, yet there's this scarcity of food for certain areas and populations, right? This is a huge, huge problem. So how can we help to get that surplus, that waste, into the hands of the people that need it? I think that's going to be huge. And I think these apps and businesses and delivery services and things like that, I think that's where the internet is really helping connect us all over the country. I think it's bigger than a quick fix. But before we get there, education is going to be paramount. So dried beans and rice are a fantastic place to start. And maybe it's canned vegetables or frozen vegetables. At least you're getting those nutrients in. At least you're starting with whole food, as close to a whole food as possible, right? It's that is going to provide you with so much more nutrients than soda in a bag of chips. And I see that too for breakfast for some people. And so it's interesting. It's healthy snack food products and all of this stuff. It's not vital to our health, right? They may be trendy and they may be great at marketing to us for our health and whatnot, but whole foods and ingredients I'd be interested to see the change in the grocery bill, right? With just kind of keeping it basic there. And I always go back to, you know, a good bean or legume or nut and seed and some grains for complete protein and a balanced meal. And then add the color where you can.
And if you're cutting out some of the packaged stuff, I mean, that can be expensive too, because you're paying for the packaging. And now, of course, shopping organic and whole food only, your bill is going to be a little bit higher. But there are ways around that. And you touched on it a little bit in your last answer, talking about food waste and sort of repurposing food waste in these online marketplaces at a discount price. Now, food waste doesn't mean the food has gone bad, or that, you know, they're pulling the food out of the trash can or something like that. There's this website, actually, you talked about these online marketplaces. There's a website called imperfectfoods.com, and they sell all these foods at a discounted price because for a number of reasons. Maybe cosmetically the food isn't what the grocery store wants, or maybe a food that has a certain label is now being phased out for that same food, but with a new label on it. Or maybe there's a surplus of something like kale, and there's just not enough demand for it at the grocery stores. And so that food would typically get thrown away, but instead this marketplace, imperfectfoods.com, is now selling it. So there are options, and food waste is a big problem in this country too. But these online marketplaces that are sprouting up and repurposing what would be food waste are great ways to get foods into the hands of the people who need it. So that's great. And I love too that you talked about frozen veggies. You know, you look on the back of the ingredient label, and if it's just broccoli, go for
it,
right?
Yes. Yep.
So,
and we're making less trips to the grocery store. So having a stocked pantry like that, you know, your freezer is included, is so smart. It makes a lot of sense. You're making less trips to the grocery store and you still have access to fruits and vegetables.
Totally. This is awesome stuff. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk more about you and your career and kind of what inspired you to get into holistic nutrition. But I guess first and foremost, what exactly is holistic nutrition and how does it differ from, I guess, traditional dietetics?
So to me, holistic nutrition is all about looking at the body as a whole and at the individual person, and finding the root cause of imbalance or illness in the body. You really listen and support and play detective. It's critical to come from a mindset that the body wants to heal. It's designed to heal. It's way smarter and more connected than we still have a grasp on. And so our job in holistic nutrition and food as medicine is finding the root cause and trying to support the natural systems that are already in place. Yeah, it's so much more than proteins, fats, and carbohydrates and calories, and so much more than this quick fix. We try really hard not to just put a Band-Aid on things. And sure, you may feel better for a little bit, but we need to be more curious than that. You know, why are you feeling this way to begin with? Why are you experiencing these skin issues or these digestive issues or this brain fog or low, and whatever it may be? You know, we all experience the gamut of symptoms. So that's really my personal definition and approach to holistic nutrition and what drew me to it. The foundation of my education at the Nutritional Therapy Association, the NTA, is basically properly prepared foods. So are you cooking foods in the way that retain their essential nutrients? Are you, for example, like soaking and sprouting your nuts and seeds and grains and legumes to help access the most nutrients as possible? Are you cooking with the right fats? So if you heat olive oil to a really high temp, for an example, it'll make those fats actually pro-inflammatory for the body because it's just not stable. So things like that. It's really, really important. Are you choosing nutrient-dense foods, and what does that mean? And going back to those whole foods versus sort of packaged and processed foods. In my opinion, dietetics and kind of our conventional nutrition system and education and textbook is old school and a little closed-minded, just in that it doesn't look at the bio-individuality of us. And we all have our own unique genes, and then we have epigenetics, which is so fascinating. And what that is it looks at how our environments and our diet and our lifestyles actually change the way our genes are expressed. It can turn them on, it can turn them off. So what we eat and how we live is pretty significant. I mean, what works for me is not going to be what works for you, Matt, but we can talk about some basic things like I know that a bag of Doritos is not going to make you thrive optimally, and it's not going to make me thrive optimally, right? But yeah. I may do well with eggs, and you may not, for example. That's kind of holistic nutrition for me, and I just think it's so powerful. And you're constantly learning. Every person that I work with is completely different, so you can't just say the keto diet or the paleo diet or XYZ, the vegan diet is the cure-all, right? There's no such thing as that. And it's easy to get frustrated because there is no cure-all for everybody. But it's so cool because I get to help people work to find the Matt diet or the Devin diet or whoever it may be. Like, we need to find what works for you and you specifically, and that's how you're going to achieve optimal health and keep coming back to that, right? Life, different things are going to come in our lives, high stress work environments or travel or whatever it may be. And so when you feel a little off, let's get back to what works best for you.
I love that answer. You talked about so many different things. The epigenetics thing is truly, truly remarkable. I didn't even know what that was until earlier this year when I read a book about it. And it goes back to your point about the power of the human body, that we just really, like, again, the general public just doesn't know about that because we've never been educated about the fact that we can actually change the matter in our brains or how our genes are expressed by what we're eating, how we're moving, and how we're living our lives. It just goes back to one of the points that you made earlier, which is that we're not hopeless. We don't have to just play with the cards that we've been dealt, but we actually have a choice in all of this, and we have control to an extent. Something else that I want to touch on real quick before we move on to kind of what inspired you to get into this field.
Yeah.
You talked about how you cook food. being really important. And the way in which you cook it, the temperature at which you cook it at, has a real bearing on the amount of nutrition that you end up taking from that food, which who the heck knew that? I guess it makes sense. But for me, you know, I cooked on high heat with olive oil for years and years and years until I found out that doing that was not very good for me. So if you could just give us like a 30,000 foot view of this, just quickly gloss over, like, how should we be cooking our food?
Yes. I love to cook my food in a variety of ways, lower, longer. We think about soups and stews and sauces and things like braising on the stovetop or over the fire for hours at a time, right? Just slow cooking away. And that's really fantastic because it holds on to all the nutrients. It takes a long time. It creates these really mineral-rich broths and sauces and things like that. So that's a great way to do it, but that doesn't work for everything, right? So I have a personal battle because I love grilling this time of year. There's nothing better than throwing different vegetables and meats and things on the grill. But that char, I will say, that char that we love so much is actually not very good for our health. So I think there's a balance there, but you don't have to make it charred, right? It's like the marshmallow over the fire. We're trying to achieve just that light golden brown, not the flame and the black char. Soaking things and rinsing things, like a lot of your pantry items are going to help access nutrients. Fermenting foods is fantastic for probiotics. One thing that I've been loving is saving my vegetable scraps. So when I'm prepping, I now have kind of like a little garbage bowl where I put the skin of onions and the tips of carrots and stuff like that. And I'll keep a container in my freezer of all my vegetable scraps. And then I've been making, just dump it in a pot of water when I'm ready with some sea salt, and I'll make my own kind of cooking liquid and vegetable broth. So it's super nutrient rich, tons of flavor. And I'll cook with that and kind of make it the base of most of my meals. I think that's a great way to go. But yeah, and then the other thing, going back to the fats, is my eyes have sort of been opened to all of the options for healthy cooking fats and trying to use a variety, because they all are good for different reasons and have sort of different ratios of healthy fats and fatty acids in them. So we talked about cooking more with grass-fed butter and coconut oil, sticking to different nut and seed oils and olive oils for looking for cold pressed, and trying to keep them unheated, basically. So use them for your dressings and to drizzle over the top of things, but probably not the best for high heat sauteing, for example. Tallow, you know, beef tallow, rendering off fat from any meat if you're cooking that, just being really resourceful and using a variety, I think, is key. But yeah, roasting vegetables, I love it. Using the grill, I love it. Sauteing, I love it. And then slow and low, letting things simmer, like a long crock pot or something. I know that's been really popular and time saving and money saving for people. So
basically, be patient with your food and you will reap the benefit.
Plan ahead.
Exactly. You know, if you let it, it can be very overwhelming with just all the information about, you know, how to cook your food, what kind of food to eat, what kind of food not to eat. But there are some general principles to follow. And when you start to understand, at least this is how it's been for me anyway, when I've started to understand just like how important food is, not only what I eat, but what I don't eat, the learning part of it has become fun. It's not cumbersome. It's not inconveniencing to me, because I'm realizing that it's literally affecting every aspect of who I am as a human being and how I operate every day. I want to go back to you again, because you competed at a really, really high level in sport. You were on the U.S. Olympic ski team. You won a Division I ski championship with the University of Denver. And then you got out of sport for a little while. You were in sales before being inspired to get into holistic nutrition. So what inspired your career change and what inspired your passion for studying holistic nutrition and educating other people on your findings?
Well, as you know, I've, like yourself, I've always really been interested in nutrition and fitness, just growing up an athlete and being in an active family and kind of chasing my brother and sister around and being really goal driven. So it was sort of this natural evolution of really while I was on the US ski team and maybe just before too, but how can I train more efficiently and work harder? And how can I find ways to better take care of my body and recover faster and have the energy to take one or two or three more runs on the ski hill? And so that started with just, you know, a little spark inside me and using the internet and just trying to navigate it as best I can and learn. And it helped that I loved food and loved cooking from a really young age and being in the kitchen with my mom and having food being such a big part of my family. And what really kind of kicked my butt into gear, into taking things into my own hands were sort of my own health issues and digestive and hormonal issues that I was struggling with. And, it was years and really going from doctor to doctor and not being heard and not getting the support and the healing that I wanted and that I felt like I deserved. And so, I was like, I got to take this into my own hands. I got to educate myself. And the more I started opening up about sort of my experience and my different health issues and my frustrations, the more I realized how common of an issue this was, the need and desire for the people around me to feel better or to help with XYZ and not being heard and supported. That kind of catapulted me. I was working in sales, but still in the food and beverage industry because I knew I loved it and wanted to be in this space in some way, shape, or form. And it was a really fun and competitive and fast-paced environment, but it's high pressure and high stress and go, go, go. And my body and my health was suffering. And so first of all, it was a huge lifestyle change of getting out of that career and then working on slowing down my own healing, educating myself, going back to school for nutrition. And then basically it was a natural blend of my passion for ski racing and my whole background and connection to the ski racing world and to sport and youth athletics and whatnot. And food as medicine and improving your performance and your health and your energy and your training and all these things through food. So,
it kind of goes back to that idea that you talked about a little bit ago about just being curious.
Yeah.
And it was that curiosity of like, how can I be a little bit better in this area, or how can I feel more energized, or how, and like that is the basis for holistic nutrition and functional medicine, is like asking how and why. Yep. And then through that curiosity, you start to figure out solutions. What's your ultimate goal in this space? Like, what do you hope to do or to accomplish as a nutritionist and as a performance guru?
Right now, I mean, always setting goals. I think it's just in my blood, in my DNA as an athlete. But in the space that I'm in right now and kind of the group I'm working with, one goal is elevating youth and young athletes through nutrition education. I love to think about especially kind of the next generation of girls in all different sports and just focusing on strong and healthy bodies and how it allows us to follow our passions and crush our goals, whatever that may be. I think that's so important. And then the next, because it is so tied to my own journey, is kind of niching to female athletes and retired female athletes, just active driven females in general who have different hormonal imbalances and have lost their menstrual cycles and how that's affecting them in their life now. And kind of using that if they're still competing using it to their advantage, or how to sort of heal their bodies from years of overtraining, maybe under eating. You know, we're sort of in this pressure cooker when you're an elite athlete, and it's so fun and so positive, but you gotta heal and recover and take care of your body as well. So it's that yin and yang effect. But I would say those are really my two huge passions right now that I want to focus my attention on and kind of keep manifesting and growing.
You touched on kind of really focusing on the education of our youth and yes. understanding that, you know, they are the future of our society. School lunches have got to change. You know, like the idea of like a school lunch when you go to school and the school provides you one. Why is food so important, especially to young people and their cognitive development? And why do we need to make a change?
Again, a fantastic question. And actually going back to sort of my early stages of working with young ski racers and nutrition and kind of what was lighting this fire. So when I was in Colorado and still in nutrition school, I was helping teach nutrition and coach part-time. And I'd pick up the students from school around noon, and we'd go to the mountain and we'd train for the afternoon. And every time I'd pick them up, they'd get into the van and they were just flat, like energy, total flat, blood sugar drop. And it was like they were ready to fight each other if someone pulled out a snack. Like blood sugars were just all over the place. And I'm like, this is a serious problem. Like our time on snow is gold. It's so limited. And here I am, you know, all excited, ready to bring them to a great ski session. And they don't have the energy to get anything out of it. And I'm seeing that in the classroom too. So cognitive function with nutrition and exercise, but also with mood, behavior, ability to focus and retain knowledge, it's paramount. So one book I actually read is Brain Maker by Dr. Perlmutter. He dives into, you know, the future of our brain health and degenerative brain disease. It's all dictated by the health of our gut microbes. And he's doing some crazy stuff with like inoculating healthy probiotics through different fecal matter and stuff like that. So pretty wild stuff, but he has simple dietary changes that are gaining tremendous population in terms of people struggling from ADD and ADHD, depression and anxiety, all of these things. And so working with young athletes, when you think about it, they're under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, anxiety to perform, fear of failure, all of these things. And so with this new science, you know, we're showing if I can come in and help really focus on dietary changes on my end, and then sure, some mental training with sports psychologists and things like that, you know, that's where we can really make change with our overall happiness, our mood, and our training goals and performance. So it's all connected. That gut brain connection it's not going anywhere. And I feel like daily they're coming out with new impressive research on that. So
100%. That's great stuff. And the connection between the brain and the gut is remarkable. I mean, we could spend hours on a separate podcast just talking about that. It's so important. And how we fuel our bodies and what we fuel our bodies with is so important to our performance as human beings, not just as athletes. You know, but it's nutrition is so vital to us as human beings for all the reasons you just talked about and all the reasons that we talked about throughout the course of this podcast. There's so much new information out there, which is awesome. It's great to have this knowledge at our fingertips that we can go to and that we can educate ourselves and others on. But I think it can also be a bit overwhelming too. I know it certainly has been for me at times, just looking at all the information out there and thinking, gosh, what do I do with all this? Like, how do I make practical changes? What's the best step to take, et cetera? And I think that could especially be true for someone who maybe thinks, man, I got a lot of changes to make. So in your mind, what's a practical first step to take for someone to get on track for a healthier lifestyle and to function more optimally as a human being?
Keep it simple. I try to keep it so simple with the young athletes that I work with. Sometimes I feel like I almost am not giving them enough, but doing the simple things right, executing those on a daily basis is where change is going to happen and healthy habits are made. So, focus on the whole foods. Maybe we talk about, I do a 1-2-3 challenge with my kids. Maybe it's one colorful fruit or vegetable on your plate at breakfast, two at lunch, and three at dinner. Maybe you can start there. And if it's too much, then just 1-1-1. Or maybe you're just trying to eat three meals a day. So keep it basic and think about where you're at and what's going to be sustainable for you. And then it gets easier as you go. So maybe it's waking up and having a glass of water with that pinch of sea salt that we talked about. That's going to do wonders. And you don't need anything special in the kitchen, right? The other thing is starting to cook more meals at home. I think trying to find the silver linings with the COVID situation right now, not only is it waking us up about our health and taking care of our bodies, but it's inviting us to spend more time at home cooking because restaurants aren't open and we can only eat so much takeout. And so just getting your hands dirty in the kitchen and learning as you go, that's how we all get started, right? You don't have to be a professional chef, but just get a whole food at some grocery store and throw it in a pan and see what happens and start to play with salt and pepper and different spices. But that's going to be such a powerful first step in improving your health. And now's the time to do it. It's summer. Try different fruits and vegetables. Get curious. I know that's sort of a common theme that we talked about in today's podcast. It's going to be more affordable, packed with nutrients, taste amazing, and fun, and share that food with loved ones. It's even better.
Yes, absolutely. And if you all who are listening want to follow along, Devin posts a lot of her meal prep and different ideas on social media. You can follow her on Instagram at Devin S. Delaney. Dev, this was an awesome
Yeah.
conversation. I feel like
Thank
we
you
could have kept
so much,
talking for another
Matt.
2 hours. You're the best. Thank you for coming on the
Oh,
show.
thank you. Thanks for having me.